I'm Tony Craig. I play Jacques Huey on Due South.
I am Catherine Bruyé.
Hey, everyone. This is Ramona Milano, otherwise known as Francesca Vecchio.
This is Paul Haggis, and you're listening to Due South by Southeast.
I wish this podcast would carry me away. But while talking to Squeak and Michelle get a word in edgeways, recorded over a bottle of rum on a dock in Southampton Bay. Due South, that is what we're talking about. Due South, saddle up my microphone, give the Finn Baker a bone.
Due South by Southeast. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Due South by Southeast. I am Detective Squee. With me, as always, is, of course, Willow, Wolf Willow. Oh, you can just see a bum there. Wolf Willow's there. And I guess I probably should mention Mountie Michelle.
Hey. Oh, thank you, Willow. That was a nice introduction.
I love the fact that just before we went live, by the way, I'm draped in the Canadian flag as we record this. Just before we went live, you were saying it's like, oh, got four people watching. And as soon as I did, suddenly we're down to
one.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't blame them.
And that one, I believe, is our good friend, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Kirk. How are you? I hope you're well today. Yeah, this is a little bit of a sneak attack surprise episode of Due South by Southeast.
Yes.
So essentially, look, it can be tough to schedule the show. I've got nothing much going on. I've got this. I've got my radio show. I've got a bit of writing. But, you know, look, I'm a middle-aged man. It's not like I'm going out anywhere. So I'm, by and large, quite available. But one of us is an NHS nurse, selfishly. So sometimes she works a lot of hours and isn't very available to record a podcast. And when we occasionally meet up, we want to have some drinks as opposed to recording podcasts, as much as we love doing this. But it is lovely to be back, guys. Hope you're well. Hope you're all surviving. Well, can be some challenging times, not only in this country, but around the world. We're here to give Due South its due one episode at a time. Michelle, what episode are we going to be talking about in a bit?
Eclipse.
Why was I saying it like that?
It looks that people can't see my microphone here, and it just looks like I went really weird then. I was trying to... Anyway, it didn't work. Don't worry. Sorry.
I think it's because you're quite short, you see, because you can barely get on camera there.
I know, Michelle. But then you've got the higher chair than me. How is
Michelle,
this fair? The shortest
Michelle,
person.
I'm on a little stool. You're on a kind of high chair. I don't know why you would say this.
Look, you enjoy being taller than me. You make sure you get the higher chair than me.
No, it's from the back, actually. I'm quite an old man. Yeah, I did say this.
Yeah. That's what he says.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at the size difference here. I mean, I look tiny.
Yeah, because you are tiny. I keep on raising this.
But one. I don't have to look it when we're sitting down, is my point.
Anyway, enough of this. We have a Due South episode to talk about.
We do.
But let's open it up before we get to anything with a salute to Gordon Pinson.
Aww.
Now, I don't give a damn tootin' what the rules say. Michelle, have we put Gordon Pinson in the Mini Mountie Club Golden Circle?
He's already there.
He is already there. Okay, I was just checking.
Yeah,
otherwise, that would be oversight. Oversight.
I looked earlier on because I was curious as well. He's already there.
Shall
Can we put
do?
Like an extra star
Shall
next to him?
Shall we do it
something?
First? We've never done this. Shall we put his character in?
Ooh. Okay.
So,
I did not. Okay. I didn't bring my pen up with me.
Oh, we had this one over there. It's just by the bottle of cherry 7-Up.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're going to put, what was the,
What's the sad thing? Was it just Benson Fraser Sr.?
Yes. We'll go with that.
Remind us, if you know the first name of Benny's dad on the show, is it just Benny Fraser?
Mr. Fraser.
Benson Fraser Sr.? Is that it? Sarah Kirk has put rightly, R.I.P. Gordon C.A. Gordon Benson.
Yeah. Bob Fraser. Bob, yes.
Bob Fraser.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Oh, someone's paying attention. Thank you, Sarah.
So we're going to actually put his character into Mini Mountain Club Golden Circle. This is the first. We've never done this before, folks.
Salute you, Bob.
Salute you, Bob. But what a character. I mean, the thing was, they didn't know when they shot the pilot if this was going to go to series or not. And the fact that they took such pains over the casting right from the pilot is something which I've always highlighted. The thing which I think it's what set it apart. That's the reason why so often with pilots, you get quite a lot of the cast who don't make it. And okay, there were quite a few subsidiary characters in the pilot of Due South, which didn't make it through to the series. And we know Walsh got recast, but I believe that's because the actor wasn't available. But either way, that happened.
And we're not disappointed with the outcome.
No, not at all. Not at all. With the greatest respect to the first Walsh. However, you've got Francesca carried forward from the pilot.
Yep.
You've got Benny's dad who dies in the pilot, which only in a show like Due South could be the beginning of a beautiful character.
Yeah.
But you got quite a few of these kind of like periphery characters who went on to be in the show. And I just thought it was the heart and it was also the just sheer comedy he could bring to it. And it's like when he's saying to Benny, it's like, avenge me, son, avenge me. He's like, I'm not going to shoot him. He's just out and out telling his son to shoot someone to avenge him.
And you know, it's so disappointing that the episode we watched today, he wasn't in it. That would have just been perfect if he was in it today.
It is a great shame, but just... And I say, you know, there were some other great moments when he held out his hand to the person who shot him. And he fell to the ground and he goes, but like your hand isn't there. It's like, yeah, but I had to offer it anyway. And it was both kind of heartfelt and comedic at the same time. It's a rare skill, I think, to be able to do that. I always compare it to Only Fools and Horses. And Due South had that in spades, that ability to have something which was both funny and heartfelt in the same breath. It was sometimes in the same moment, let alone a moment afterwards in other scenes. And he personified that. No one on the cast who I've spoken to, and I've spoken to quite a few of the cast by now, have had a bad word to say about him. They just always say about what they learned from him. He did seem like he was the elder statesman of the set, and he would teach them so much about acting and about say their great ability to switch from drama to comedy. So a big RIP. Oh,
he was fantastic, wasn't he?
Yeah. Have you got a favorite moment you want to that springs to mind? Sorry, I know I'm putting you on the spot there.
I don't know so much about favorite moment. I don't know why I always think of him in his hat.
Yes.
It's him. Well, him.
He had the back cut off.
The back. Yeah. Yeah. I just. That was just always the thing that just always made me giggle a bit with him. It's just so funny.
And actually, we have got that to look forward to, because even though he wasn't in the episode we watched today, he becomes, he gets a bit more regular, I think, as the next series or two series, depending on which region you're in. You know, so in the UK, it was one series. In the US and Canada, it was two series, first series three and four, but it was just series three for here. For us, or season three and four. Anyway, I digress. So, Sarah, whenever I think of Cabin Music, I hear his voiceover. I did. It's weird. It got me thinking of the song Ride Forever, and something about when the angels call. When the angels call, it's only them we might pull in the reins. And it's about these kind of great people who just never stop until their last breath. And it seemed like he was a working actor right to the end. And the angels called, and only then he pulled in the reins. So RIP Gordon Pinson, Ride Forever. So let's pivot straight from that into our features. I haven't got my iPad to hand, so I'm just going to do this a cappella. Yo ho ho, we're getting drunk as hell. Tell me this, what rum are we drinking, Michelle?
Wow. Musical pack. I know.
From my phone there.
Yeah, that was a bit special.
Yeah. Much like you, Michelle.
Well, of course. So we've got two here. I'm going to go, I'll show you the
one.
Do you
want to put them on the camera?
Yeah, well, the one.
That's not on camera at all.
I'm going to pick it up.
It's like,
oh my goodness.
Like you're pointing to it. They can't see.
See, if I was to get a word in edgeways.
You see the screen in front of us where you can see what they're seeing?
Yeah.
And the rum isn't in there.
Yeah.
So they're not seeing it, is what I'm trying to say.
Should I try and finish my sentence and we'll see where I'm going?
Yeah. I can't see why that would be helpful.
I was going to say, I'll start off.
One thing I was going to ask you.
Oh my goodness. I was going to start off by showing you the one that we've got now, the one that's in our glass now. I was going to pick up and show to the camera, believe
see,
it or not.
In this glass, I show them the glass, you see.
Dead Man's Fingers Mango.
And we're definitely on the Michelle measures tonight. It's a little dicey tonight, I'm not going to lie. We're going to see the wonderful Zoe Lyons, who's playing at the Eastleigh at the Point, just up the road from us here in the UK, a wonderful comedian. And we've had a few already. I mean, it's you know, the chances of things going off the rails, it's there. It's all I'm saying.
It should be a fun night. It'll be a fun
should
night.
Be a fun night.
It'll
be a for anyone but the rest of the audience.
Yeah, not for them, but for us. That's hilarious. We won't mind. And we might have next, maybe we'll go for this one I'll show you.
Oh.
This might be difficult to see on camera.
This was a birthday or Christmas present? I can't remember which, because my birthday's in December, but it was one of them from Michelle. It's such
that look
lovely...
too dark.
Yeah, you can't read it, but look how cool does that look?
Diablo spiced rum. There's eyes. Look at his eyes. Very spooky. We need this one on Halloween, don't we?
Yeah. We've totally wasted that.
Yeah, 100% wasted it.
No, it's an absolutely gorgeous rum, though. It's if anyone's ever tried Cloven Hoof, which one of the rums we've featured on this podcast before, that's an absolutely lovely one. It's got more cloves than the traditional spices which are used in rum. Mm. Absolutely lovely. And that's got that, but it's the spice is a little bit more refined flavour, and it's added a few other notes as well, and it's just really lovely. But I'd highly recommend both those. Cloven Hoof, absolutely lovely, by the way. Has got a real kick of cloves, which is nice.
Yeah, I was going to say, shall I read out what it says?
Yeah, please do.
Gorgeous tones of vanilla.
Gorgeous.
Vanilla, caramel, cinnamon, orange peel, and raisin. Don't think I've ever had that in a rum.
I can taste the raisin, but I'll
lovely.
I'll look for it this time.
It's very nice.
Yeah, when you pour like it, remind me raisin.
Right. Yeah.
And speaking of raisin thinner things up, Sarah Kirk, I'm on the Earl Grey tea at the moment. So is that tea Earl Grey hot? Oh. Perfect. And Picard is back at the moment.
I'm just going to pretend I know what you're talking about.
Right, Jean-Luc Picard. He was the captain of the Enterprise NCC 1701D.
I'm sorry, Sarah. I'm sorry.
And he's now got a new show called Picard. Star Trek Picard. And they brought this series, for the first time, they brought back all the members of the Next Generation cast together.
Lovely.
That's very exciting for me. And I'm just going to drop my headphones right there. So I hope you're enjoying your TL Grey Hot. And I hope you're enjoying the latest series of Picard if you're watching it. It is great.
I'm sure it is.
We haven't done this, though. We sort of did an impromptu one. We haven't done the main Mini Mountie Club. Hey! Who you got, Michelle?
No one.
Yeah, I didn't put one either. Shall we just say the Gold Circle membership for a fictional character is
that
the one?
That 100% works. Unless somebody wants to comment now and say, can I be in the exclusive club?
Either want to be in Mini Mountie Club or want to nominate a Mini Mountie.
Yeah. Any pets? If you've got a pet, we can add your pets.
Sorry, I'm going to...
Have you just thought of someone?
I think someone wrote a message to us. A messenger somehow... through due south.
This could be an exclusive right here.
Yeah, but then I can remember how to find the message.
Yeah, you need to find out.
This could take a second.
This could take a while.
Can you
Vamp? No.
Vamp. Talk to the people.
The people. Hello, people. So, Sarah, we know you are already in our club, but do you know anyone? Is anyone that is watching? Would you like to be in it? Do you know anyone that you would like to nominate? They don't need to know. We're not going to send them a letter or anything.
No, we will assume you've got their consent.
Yes. Although I was rewriting out the whole Mini Mountie
list
earlier on. And if
they're your kids, by the way, you can make the decision on their behalf.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of animals in our club. So we are Oh, hello. Hello, Facebook user.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure who you are, but would you like to be in our exclusive club? Well, maybe we can.
Okay,
have you got it?
I don't know if I've read this out on the show. It came in to me. Oh, no, this came in a few years ago. Okay. No, I don't know. I thought someone had messaged it. Somewhere.
Maybe we can find it for the next time.
Yeah, maybe we could.
Yeah.
And not spend the whole show with me looking my phone.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Ines Stepat who is in Jesus. Welcome.
Hello there.
If anyone thinks of anyone they want to recommend for Mini Mountain Club, just let us know. In the meantime, why can you not see my name?
I don't know.
Right. So with StreamYard, to put comments onto so we can see the name, you've got to give it permission. So it should ask somewhere on the screen if you want to give permissions to add your name. It doesn't do anything else. It just gives them permission to be able to publish your name and put your picture in. Loads of people have used it and it hasn't mined any data or anything else or message you about anything else. Because I know people are a bit worried about this stuff.
Fair enough.
Exactly. And hi, guys, from other Facebook user. Hello, everyone.
Hey. Like,
we're really, really overjoyed to have you here. We know we didn't announce this in advance. So I think that's all the orders of business we do before, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we should crack on now.
So let's speak about the episode. So this
let's
is...
do this.
Who's this one written and directed by?
Oh, you did not ask me to look that up. That's that is 100% your job.
I didn't do it, though.
I'm like... Well, that's your problem. That's not a me problem.
I think I can blame you. I'm very good at it.
No,
I'm not. Well, is it Michelle's? There you go. It's great.
I'm not taking this one.
Sorry, our screen's gone a bit weird. Just give me a second.
Technical issues.
Yeah, sorry about this, guys. So I might have to just switch screen off and back on. So you might have hear some weird sounds for a second here.
Well, they're quite fun sounds, to be fair.
Basically, I'm using an old TV as a monitor and it every now and again decides it's just going to reframe the window so I can't see anything. So I have to play around with this. So we're now on to 5 or 6 viewers just when I'm playing about with the TV. Right, we're back.
Hey!
Guys, so we're now, you're right in time to hear all about the episode duet. So Ines, hey!
We can see you now. Oh, I like your picture. Fire lady?
Yeah. Actually, is very that what cool. you do for a living? I've never asked you. Anyway, yeah.
Or just having fun.
We're really lovely to see you.
We're really lovely and we hope you are too.
As I mentioned, we might have been drinking a bit already.
Come on, we've not had that much that you're starting to talk rubbish.
I mean, what do you mean? You say that as if I need alcohol to talk rubbish.
That's a good point.
So this is Eclipse. This was, I can find the credits.
Dear. Amateur
directed
hour.
By Richard. Richard directed by Richard J. Lewis. Writers Paul Haggis, created by and John Krasink. Written by John Krasink. That's how we're going to pronounce it. Yes, firefighter for 33 years. Thank you very much for keeping people safe.
Yeah, amazing.
And who is the other Facebook user though? We want to hear who you are. Just we're very excited to have you here. How does this episode start, Michelle?
As always, it's a good start. So to begin with, we've got some people just storming down the corridor of the precinct. We didn't know who they were to start with. So internal affairs, and I didn't write down who the big guy was. It was like district attorney kind of a guy.
Yeah, he's the one in charge of the
he was a douche.
He was a douche.
We didn't like him. Didn't write down who he was.
No, he doesn't get in
there. So they are basically storming into the precinct because they are investigating. I thought that for a minute I thought that was us having technical issues. Sorry, Sarah.
No, just sorry. the camera on this, for some reason, it's very sensitive. If you accidentally jog the wire slightly, everything goes haywire. So I apologize if that happens, or if our video switched out for just a minute. Michelle, you're just ridiculously short on that chair.
It's a smaller chair than yours. Sitting on the cushion.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm going to bring my own cushion next time.
Do you want a pillow as well?
Oh, go on then.
Oh, sorry. This is what I mean about the camera. Oh, you see? Cushion's coming out. There you go. So we've now got Michelle on her high chair. So our camera's back on.
Yay!
And you still can't see it.
I'm still...
Do you want to move over slightly?
I've got my hands full.
Move the chair.
I'm coming. Oh, my goodness. Right, I've got a cushion and a pillow, and I'm still tiny. Don't think there's much more we can do today.
Yeah, now it's just your height we're working against. I don't think using the Canadian flag to hide my dressing gown is really working.
You should just rock the dressing gown.
Sorry, it's just cold over here.
It's cold. I know. I feel like we shouldn't complain about the cold, though, because in Canada, they're probably like, yeah, it's minus 40 over here. What are you talking about? But anyway, we're feeling it. So there's a probe into the corruption in the district.
Dun, 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 dun. And they very quickly say that the person who's in charge of the investigation, that Walsh put away his brother or his cousin. Is it brother or
brother?
Cousin? Brother.
His brother.
I wasn't sure for a second, but I was like, is that a guy who played one of the Eggmen? And it was. And I assume that's in canon that he is his own cousin within the show, which I quite liked. I like that. That was a nice little touch.
Yeah, we like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was beef between this guy and Walsh, and it was quite funny. Yeah, there was some beef going on.
There was some big beef.
Yeah, we were enjoying the pettiness as well, weren't we? Of the this guy said to Walsh at one point, "Oh, you still a lieutenant?" And Walsh just looked back and goes, "Oh, you still a jerk?"
Yeah, like, yeah. It was like, it was a very social face kind of like answer to an argument, which was very enjoyable.
We liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
We like Walsh. You know, like I said, Walsh is normally so professional, and then just to see him just...
I think that's why it's so enjoyable, because it's like when someone gets under someone's skin, and no matter how professional they are, they just break and they just say something really childish, and there's nothing more enjoyable.
We enjoyed that.
Unless you're the person who's broken.
And so it becomes very clear that they want to speak to Ray Vecchio.
Yeah.
And there's no sign of him, or, you know, the substitute Ray Vecchio. There's no sign of him. They're trying to get hold of him. And then they cut to a scene where the new Ray is preparing his drink.
Yes. I've always wondered, I don't know if anyone's got any insight into this, but I always wondered if the thing he's putting into his... Well, is it coffee or is it already hot chocolate for a start?
Yeah.
Is he adding M&Ms or is that Smarties? I don't know if in Canada or America they've got some version of Smarties, or if they have Smarties themselves. I think they've got Smarties. But, like, is it just assumed it's M&Ms? What is he put? Or Skittles, maybe even? What's he putting into his drink?
Very strange, isn't it?
But yeah, he crushes them up and then puts them in. I'm guessing they can't be Skittles because they seem to crush up a little bit.
Hmm.
Does he?
Maybe it was M&M's.
No, he pours them in. Does he crush them first?
No, I think once they're in there, then he starts crushing them, doesn't he?
That's it. Yeah, he uses the spoon, crush, 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 then stir. Yeah.
Anyway, he's got this dramatic music playing, and then there's just phone call after phone call after phone call where the station's like calling him, like, "You need to come in. We need you to come in." He's just ignoring them all. He's on a bit of a mission.
Yeah.
We had no idea what he was doing, but he was on a mission for something. And then it cuts back to, I just absolutely love this scene. It cuts back to the precinct and Walsh is speaking to Benny. He's just walking down the corridor and there's like no questions asked. But he's walking down the corridor with a cabbage in one hand and a bag with fish and water in the other. It's the most normal thing.
It's such a wonderful Due South moment when you're just walking down a corridor with those two items, and it just seems so par for the course with the show.
Yeah, if it was anyone else, Walsh would have questioned him, but he's like, okay, ask.
Let's just leave it. It'll come up if it's important. And I think this is a great episode for showing how the tone has shifted from the first two series to this one, whereby you do have, you do have these kind of very high comedic moments. It is hilarious. It is very much in the tradition of the show, but you definitely see the comedy dialed up and the drama. Like, I mean, the drama's definitely still there, but I think it was perhaps more swinging towards the drama earlier on, and this is more swinging towards the comedy. It's still very enjoyable, but it's definitely a different kind of a different formula,
yeah,
I guess, on it.
It was definitely very comedic, and then Walsh wants a private word with Benny, so then they go into a cupboard.
Yes.
Just having this bizarre conversation in a cupboard, holding this cabbage and a fish. And then somebody like opens the door, don't they? And they're like, what have I walked in?
Yeah, I just want some toilet paper, and they just hand him, like, hands him a file.
Take it and get out.
But it was like some paper or something that he had in his hand. He hands him not some toilet paper.
He basically sends him on a mission, doesn't he, to go and track down Ray and bring him to the...
I thought you were the guy who's going for a poo. It's like, you know, kid sends him on a mission to track down what, toilet paper?
Won't find it in here.
Yeah, and I also like the fact that I could just imagine that this is what Benny does for Ray every year on his birthday. Gets this fish for Bobby.
Like, it's Ray's... Yes. I can't remember who questioned him. Was it Elaine? Well, someone asked him.
Said, yeah, Elaine asks, and then they say that it's Ray Becker's birthday, so every year he makes a celebration of it.
Yeah.
And now, are we saying that that's Benny doing his celebration because Ray isn't there to direct it himself?
Mm.
Or is this something that Benny does every year?
Because you could see with, you know, old Ray, Benny would be like, right, well, I've got some traditional things, we'll do this and that, and Ray would just be like, no, we're going to the pub.
Yeah, we're going to pub.
We're going to play some pool.
Yeah,
And this year, Benny's like, well, I can do what I want. I'm bringing the fish and the cabbage.
But it's like, it's a bit where I think that Benny, being such a stickler for the rules and everything, he would want to act like it would be if Ray Vecchio was here.
Yeah.
So either he's done this for Ray Vecchio before, or Benny... in his mind, thinks that Ray would be right up for this night, which I don't want to pass him either.
Oh, great stuff, though. When they are asked, well, Ben, oh my goodness, so when Benny is asked, you know, what's all this about? I'm sorry, I can't talk. The whole fish in the bag thing, he explains it, goes, well, we're going to go bobbing for trout. Like it was the most normal thing to say. Bobbing for trout.
Yeah, not bobbing for apples. No, apples aren't very plentiful in the Yukon.
Which
is a great comeback, because, like, yeah, they wouldn't be.
I can't remember what the cabbage was for now. Maybe just as a snack? I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, no, what did they use the cabbage for? We should have made a note.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't make a note.
Michelle, come on.
Sorry, I was so struck by the bobbing for a trout. Yeah, so then we cut back to Ray, and he's heading off to a graveyard. And I like that he bumps into was he like the caretaker for the graveyard?
Yes.
He bumps into, and so he was cool. Kind of like, oh, can you let me into that mausoleum? He's like, no, you're still alive.
Yeah.
He was like, well, like,
oh, would some money help? It's like, I don't take money bribes.
He gives him this whole bottle of scotch.
Yeah, I love the whole thing about, like, single malt. And he goes, it's like, this is broken. It's like, it's not broken. It's like, it's otherwise, like, the liquid would be on the floor. Yes, but I can't get to liquid, so it's broken.
See, it's not working. How does the bottle not work?
And then he just sliced the top off, and the guy's drinking away from it. Like, that's not safe. Like, he's going to cut his lips to shreds.
Where was the health and safety assessment
Where? Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. I mean, he's an alcoholic. He's not an idiot. Like, he's not going to drink glass.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, you sieve that stuff before you drink it, surely.
Yeah, please.
Come on, people.
We're worried about you.
So he goes into the mausoleum, and he's got some binoculars, and he's looking out. So it becomes clear that he's doing a bit of a stakeout in a graveyard. He's watching some people.
Yeah.
We didn't really know what was going on at that point. And then obviously Benny's trying to find Ray, so he goes to his apartment and the landlady lets him in.
Oh, I love this scene, because it was really nice. It was like, I like the way you slowly find out information about the second Ray. They don't tell you all about him straight away. And like when they're looking around the flat, and Diefenbaker's played detective by rolling up a mat. So you can see these like feet on the ground. So the woman's going, it's like he was just kept on tapping on the roof, but like rhythmically. And then they're going, it's like, or maybe dancing. And it's like they've got these dance steps and things. I like the fact that Diefenbaker thought to look. Yeah. It's like the carpet's already up and Deep
like Baker's his paws like on it, yeah. Like, hi, yeah, look what
Deep
I found.
Baker found that clue, and that's I like the fact Stephen Baker isn't just a dog there.
He's not just a dog. He's part of the team.
He is definitely, yeah, he finds out clues.
He is detecting. Yeah. That might be me making the tech go a bit funny, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, he's more on it than Paw Patrol.
Yes.
Only wish.
Yeah, I did write down the dancing detective.
I thought you were going to say you wrote down
Paw Patrol. No, I didn't. I wrote down the dancing detective.
Nice. I like it.
Just bringing that in. The one... Oh... yeah, so he sees this newspaper. Oh, that's me going off. Sorry.
I thought it was your phone.
No, it was me.
Yeah.
That's throwing me off. So Benny sees the newspaper where Ray has circled a funeral. So he heads down to the graveyard, and that's where he finds Ray. But then it goes back to the precinct again, and I felt really bad for Elaine. We see quite a bit of Elaine in this episode.
Her surname.
We did.
Which I don't think's ever in it previously.
Vesbras. Oh, what was it? Vesbrasse? Vesbrasse? Vesbras?
Vesbras. We can't remember her surname now, but you do remember. Hear it. I don't think it was featured previously. But they keep referring to her by her surname, yeah. Which is kind of weird. It's like, it's Elaine. Come on.
I felt really bad for her because Walsh asks her to do something. She sits down to do it, and then the investigators like call her to go and be interrogated. And oh, just the way she goes, oh, for a minute I thought I was going to act like a real detective.
They start laying down the track for her leaving because it's like about her.
Never progressing.
I'm just a couple of weeks away from becoming a cop, and now this. It's sad to see these first signs of her leaving. She's amazing. We love Elaine.
Yeah. Also sad for her. Then it heads back to like Ray and Benny.
Oh,
and
Desbris. Thank you, Sarah Kirk.
Oh yeah, we might have misheard.
And like Sarah.
God, Sarah, she's got
when
all
you say we might.
Michelle's notes, not mine. I just shout stuff to her to write down because I'm too lazy.
That is exactly right.
That is exactly right.
True
to the T.
So we have these chats with Ray and Benny in this mausoleum because Ray doesn't really want to tell Benny what's going on at first, and then Benny goes off on a story about a stakeout. Yeah. He spent 72 hours laying in a caraboose. Caribou's carcass. Caribou.
I don't know what caribou
is. I think I just made that up.
Caribou.
Caribou carcass. He said he never knew who he was taking out. You think, yeah. Oh dear. Oh dear, Benny.
It was a wonderful Benny story. And I like the fact that it's the way he comes in. He just comes in, he talks to him, and he's kind of like, he does state the importance and what relies on what's happening. I still don't understand though why someone can't phone up the internal affairs and basically goes like, right, well he's undercover, so you can't blow his cover by asking these questions.
Ray
Vecchio isn't available. Once he's finished with this mission, we will make him available to you. Or you know, you have to weigh up then if the anti-corruption overrides his current mission and how deep undercover he is. Why none of this is what's at stake, as opposed to like, we'll just assume that the new Ray Vecchio can sort out.
Yeah.
It does seem weird
it's
that they
mad,
don't.
Isn't it?
So like the premise is slightly flawed is what I'm saying. But once you get past that, it is a very fun episode. I like the way that he kind of like wins over his trust. He doesn't try to force the issue, try and make him leave. He basically sits with him and finds out why he's there and why this is so important to him. It's a very Benny
It's
solution.
Very Benny, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very Benny. Yeah. And then I wrote down something you asked me to write down. Bad hours, bad food, and bad guys.
Oh, that was the line from Ray Kraski. Bad hours, bad food, and bad guys. It's such a wonderful cop show line. It's just great.
Yeah.
And it sums up where he's starting at. That's how he feels about the job. And Benny then gives a wonderful speech which shows where he's coming from, like, and how much he cares and all this stuff. And it's just a lovely line. Very well written. I love it. A cheesy but still really good line. It's not bad, yeah. But it is cheesy, let's face it. It's just, but it's great.
It was great. Yeah. But then Ray's looking out of the mausoleum and he's watching Diefenbaker, who's got some flowers. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I love this so much.
It looks like Diefenbaker's just grabbed some flowers he's running off with. And then he takes them to a doggy.
He does. He's
a doggy grave.
Yeah, he's like paws up and barking at this doggy grave, and Benny makes his comment about how he was good at horticulture or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then he goes, "Oh, did I get you to write that one down as well? About his being a sensitive and empathetic."
Group. Yeah, I think that was a bit later on, but yeah, I did write that down.
Yeah, just made me think of that.
Yeah. Yeah, then there were some people in the background in the graveyard that Ray was looking at as well. Oh, Diefenbaker was ace, Sari, 100%.
Yeah.
And something's going. It wasn't the people that he was staking out, but he could feel that something was going on. So he goes out to see what was going on. I think he pretends to be the son of the woman in the coffin. There's a coffin. I think that's been dug up or something. They're putting it in a van, and Ray's like, "Oh, that's my mum in there." And they're like, "No, that's not your mum."
Yeah, and he pulls it back and goes like, "Oh, mum, you're looking like some Cuban cigars."
Cuban cigars. Yeah, so he rests these guys that have got these cigars, but then he refuses to take them to the police station because he's on the stakeout.
Yeah.
So he's having this argument with Benny, and Benny's like, "No, it has to be you that takes him. You were arresting him."
Yeah, he goes, the arresting officer has to get him back to the station house forthwith, and basically quotes regulation at him. And he's going, like, "I'm not doing it." So he goes, "Why don't you take him back?" He's like, "Well, I'm not the arresting officer."
Although I think I did skip the bit with the whole shootout, didn't I? Was there a shootout on this? Yes, this was the shootout. I've skipped the whole shootout.
You skipped the shootout?
I've skipped it. So we'll go back. I think Ray's like, "Pull out your gun," to like Benny. Benny's like, "Yeah, I don't have a gun, but if you guys could just step aside, and my colleague will go for your Miranda rights."
I don't care how many times they do this in GSF. I love whenever Benny just without a gun just stands up to the bad guys, and they just basically goes like, "You've got no gun. What are you gonna do?" And he just talks his way down, and then fights his way out without a gun.
You've got to love his confidence,
yeah.
Haven't you?
Yeah, but it's the same scene which is done so many times, and every time they make it new and funny.
Yeah, and there's this whole shootout that goes on throughout the graveyard. They're running, they're shooting. And then as they're running from like gravestone to gravestone, trying not to be shot, Benny is just pulling out this birthday present and talking him through this dream. He's got his dream catcher.
It's the best. He just gives this whole speech as they're running, saying it's like... So you've got to be lucky enough for one of these particular type of vehicles to pass away of natural causes. Mm-hmm. Then you've got to have someone who comes across the carcass and has the presence of mind to put it on ice and send it back to the correct territory. Then you have to hope that a shaman doesn't need it for some ritual reasons, which of course take precedence over wanting to buy a gift for a friend. It is just so beautiful.
It's just mad, isn't it?
So perfectly juiced. I would believe that probably is the protocol, that if you're going to get one of these leaves to make a dream catch, you have to go through all this. It is great. I love it. It is just, it is one of those GSAF moments.
Yeah.
Perfect GSAF moments.
And that's quite a lot to go through for someone that you don't really know as well, because he's not giving it to the Ray he knows. All of this is for a Ray he doesn't know yet. Well,
there is something which we'll get to, which just maybe he does know him more than the amount of time they've known each other.
Okay.
We'll get them.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, girlfriend. I don't know what accent I was like.
And then, it cuts to a scene where Diefenbaker, he's going back to this grave with the dog, and he's actually arranging the flowers. He's actually doing some flower arranging on this grave.
Diefenbaker. Just amazing. Actually, I think as the show gets sillier, I think the more they do character development for Deef.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, you're going to see this coming up, Michelle, because I know there's some of these you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be exciting, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to, I'm always looking forward to more Deef. And then we cut back to the precinct and we see Tony getting, our Tony Craig getting interrogated.
Kido Craig, I can't believe before I interviewed him, I never realised he was a musician. because when I look at him now, he looks like the coolest of the guys in the charts during the 80s. Like, you know, if there was a, I'm just going to say, the haircut, which was like favored by black guys. And it was just like, just that really cool, sharp, like cut, which he's got like a little bit of a line through there. His hair is perfectly manicured. He just looks like a really cool musician. He is just, oh, yeah. Anyway, he's very cool. yeah, so he gets grilled out.
Yeah, so he gets a grilling.
He does.
And then we have Ray and Benny back at the mausoleum, and the guys that they've arrested.
Mausoleum.
What am I saying?
Sounds like Muslim. Yeah. The mausoleum.
Mausoleum.
Like a Muslim. Like a thing which kids have. Muslim.
Okay. Mausoleum. I don't know.
Sounds fine.
I don't know.
Mausoleum, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, so these mausoleum. That's what
mausoleum.
I don't know. Oh my god!
Tony Craig is cool.
He's so yeah, he is cool. Really cool. We like
he's
him.
He's just got a great. It's like a hip hop. Like I think a lot of the hip hop guys had their kind of like. It was really square, and just a little height, but not very tall. Very
cool. Definitely a hairstyle of the times, wasn't it?
Oh, it's great. It still looks sharp.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, so because Ray didn't want to leave his stake out, so the guys that you're not saying it anymore. The guys that he arrested, he just locks them up in there. Yeah. It's like, well, they can just stay there till I'm ready to go. Oh, we have another comment about our lovely Tony.
Miss Stepper, I love Tony's character. It is great.
It's a great character.
And it's like, I don't think it gives too much away, but he does get another partner in some time. In the series, but it's nice to have just like him having these little comedy moments just to himself.
Yeah,
it's a nice little. I like the fact they gave a bit of breathing space between his partner dying and then just not chucking another character into the mix.
Yeah, really. You know, I like that. He didn't break under the interrogation either. No, and they were saying to him like, "You could have Walter's job."
Yeah, you don't turn old Tito Craig.
No. that's one of my most favorite bits of this episode's coming up. Yeah, so these guys are locked up, and then oh my goodness, I don't have an empty glass though. Well, I'm not there yet.
Quicker. I wasn't even thinking that.
Goodness. Shots were fired in the graveyard.
Well, shots weren't poured though, were they?
No, they weren't. No, they weren't. You can go ahead. You can pour yourself a drink while I'm. And I'll pour myself one.
Maybe I will.
Yeah, maybe you should. Yeah, so they hear some shots being fired out in the graveyard and they go running out there. And it's an elderly lady firing shots into her husband's grave.
Again, perfectly useful. The fact that she said reasoning was that he was scared of... What was he scared of that he needed lead in there?
He was agoraphobic.
Agoraphobic. But how did the lead...
Oh. That was to stop the insects eating him or something.
Yeah,
that was
insects.
Yeah.
But one they just broke with a bit of lead. I love the fact that she just went, it's like, oh, it just makes me feel a bit better to shoot some lead into him every few months. I don't know if it works, but it makes me feel great. I love that reasoning.
Oh my god. It was great. It was so funny because like Benny tackles her. Yeah. And then you've got this weird moment where this elderly lady is led on the ground, Benny led on top of her. And she's
Michelle was there going, bitch.
And then she's being all a bit flirty with him, but she's quite old.
He was afraid of acrobats.
Yes, that's what Ray said, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
When she said, oh, he was agoraphobic.
Oh yeah.
Ray goes, scared of acrobats.
Yeah, no, that was nice. That was very well done. Yeah, no, but I just love it. It just classic G South Barminess. Of course probably she did bury him with a bit of lead and just does that anyway because it makes her feel better.
Makes her feel better.
Great. I love it. And yeah, Michelle just drooling at that. It's like, oh, but, oh my goodness. Lady.
And then she's like, oh, it's.
She's so tall, she said.
But then this old woman's going, oh, I can feel it's really stiff or something. And then Benny was like, what is? She's like, my leg.
Yes. Acrobats, I mean, some sort of English, right? No,
no, it's good.
You're right. I was just trying to remember the bit.
Yeah.
No, acrobatics, perfect.
And then she ends up in the mausoleum with them all as well. There's like a little gang of them now. And I'm not going to. I'm not saying it. Again. I'm not repeating it. I'm going to call it something else. The crypt. They're all in the crypt.
And then the mausoleum.
Yeah, you can say mausoleum. You say that one. I'm sticking to crypt. Anyways. This episode just gets weirder and weirder. So they're in a crypt, in a graveyard. They've got people locked up, an old woman being silly, flirty with them.
Yes. And I mean, it becomes a sort of play. It's a sort of play within the episode whereby you've got five characters in a mausoleum or crypt, if you will.
I will.
And just five of them there. And it just, it's this wonderful character piece whereby you've got. Again, I can just picture this play whereby you've got two central characters who are police officers of some description, and you've got three other people who are there who are like two criminals and one old lady who's wound up in there. I love the fact that it's just this congruence, and it feels like this would work as a play. You could rewrite this
just
as
in this setting. Yeah.
Yeah, you could like, and you could just have to have one other set which appears in the margins. Like, you know how in some plays they've got the foreground, and then off on one side you might have a little scene.
Yeah.
For just a scene.
Yeah.
You could have the things in the station there. This would actually really work as a play quite well.
Yeah. Then you just have this weird moment where Ray just turns around to Benny and is like, "Do you think I'm attractive?"
Yeah, it's great. And he goes, it's like, "If you're a woman," he goes, "Yes." Really? And he goes, "Well, I'm the best to answer that. Although, Benny, you've been a woman before." All I'm saying.
Yeah. He was like, "No, just pretend you're a woman." And then there's the old woman who's like, "Well, I think you're attractive and I am a woman." And he was like, "Yeah, you know, her opinion doesn't count."
Yeah.
And then the guys that were locked up, they were like, yeah, I mean, cute maybe. No, maybe not attractive, but cute, you're cute. They were getting in on the conversation as well.
See, and something I didn't say before when we were watching it, I think it's really cool that both Rays, if you write down their character traits, they're exactly the same, really. Like, there's something I almost said, which I won't give away. But there's another parallel, which I can draw with you later. But you've got the fact that they're, they're both a little bit grumpy. Both think they're absolute players and they're not as much as they think. both really do the right thing at the end of the day, but both have a very cynical side. But in action, they are so different. They're such different characters. I think this Ray's a bit more neurotic and he's a bit more honest about the fact that he's vulnerable. I think the other Ray is very vulnerable and very real and very there for his friends, but he doesn't talk so much about his vulnerability, whereas this one kind of does. And I think that's the biggest difference. I think that's what makes them quite different, but it's kind of fascinating. They're so similar while being so different.
They've
done a good job with that, I think.
I mean, that was a lot, I think, for Ray to kind of admit, you know, this conversation they go on to have. You know, his wife's just left him, then he goes, they have this bit of a flashback to what happened when he was with his girlfriend at 13, I think they said they were, so they were very young, and they, you know, they were in a bank, and then there was a bank robbery. It was obviously terrifying. You're a kid. And then he wets himself. I mean, I probably would have.
And it was a bit we picked up because there's this, I mean, it's a great scene. The idea that he pees himself, the kind of like the criminal takes the mickey out of him. Really nicely done. The bit which I was a bit more questioning of was there was one of the guys who's being held up at the time who, when Stanley Ray pees himself, he looks up and he looks like, "Oh, for God's sake." It's like, he's a kid who's just got a gun pulled on him. He's worried about his girlfriend and you're taking the piss. Like, taking the piss.
Take it, ha-ha.
But he seems to be taking the mickey. I did not approve. I did not like that. I thought he was mean, that guy. In search of the Holy Grail. Grail. I'm sure it was a restaurant.
Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail, Grail. I'm sure it was a restaurant. Pardon me. Sorry, Ennis, do not dare say that's because of anything you've written wrong. You wrote it correctly. I read it wrong. Your English is apparently better than mine, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we also see, I think this was the bit you were talking about earlier on, then outside, Diefenbaker is actually howling by this grave of this dog. Then this is when Benny says his breed is incredibly sensitive. He feels sorrow deeply.
Feels so deeply. It was the way they word this that is just so rich. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
You do that. And we love Dave. We love him.
Ah, oh, Dave.
We love him. Then it goes back to the priest, and this is when we find out, I think, that the reason that these Walsh has got beef with this guy is because of beef. I'm just saying it like it's a thing now. He's got beef.
He's got beef.
It's because he jailed his brother.
Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, which again, I'm thinking canonically is their way of saying that it's both of them. You know, it's like he is playing both the brother and himself.
Mm.
Actually, I watched Due South in German, so it may not correct translate it. Yeah. But yeah, no, no,
it's your English
is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's
certainly
good.
Better than my German.
And English.
True as well.
And then we're back on, I know where we are. We're back in the crypt. And so it's been quite a heartfelt time with him talking about his past. And I think he's almost at a point where he's kind of giving up on the stakeout as well. We find out that he's looking for this guy. So the guy that held up the bank, he's been trying to track him down for years to get some like revenge and vengeance on this guy.
It's like there's a two-part step down from it. So it's like, to be honest, he lets it go to a degree. It's like, look, I'm not going to catch this guy today. Benny's charmed me out of it a little bit as well.
Mm.
And he walks away. And he's about to do so when he just suddenly gets this thing in his head about if the dream catcher, would fly.
Oh, yeah. Could he use it like a frisbee?
Yeah. And Benny just says there's only one way to find out. And it's just a nice little thing. Mm. Again, he chose to walk away. And then fate brought him to this guy to give him the ultimate closure.
Yeah.
And it does seem kind of fateful. And it seems somehow in the heightened reality world of Due South, it seems kind of weirdly believable that you could just throw a dream catcher and it happens to hit someone on the head. And it gets that. I mean, I love the way Due South treads that line of like, there's a suggestion of mysticism in a lot of episodes, but they never out and out say it's like it's because of fairies, basically. But they go, maybe it's fairies. It's like, I like that. And it's like it dares to dream, but it doesn't. It's almost like if you say it's like it's because fairies are real, that takes something away from it for me anyway. Like, I do not believe in fairies, but I like the suggestion of fairies. I like, it could have been fairies. It's nice. It leaves it open to a bit of mysticism and a bit of the charm which comes with that.
Yeah,
sorry, like that.
It is charming, isn't it? Yourself? We like the charm. Yes, and then they have this weird kind of. Then the guy that Ray's been after and Ray, they end up in the grave. Mm. They end up in a grave just as the eclipse. Obviously, the episode's called Eclipse. There's an eclipse happens.
This is everything, though, this scene, because it's like it's all about how any of us. We've got this thing, these things which in life we hold on to, which were the worst moments of our life, which defined us because of how bad we felt in that moment. It led us on a certain path. We've all got the moments like that. And it's the thought that the other person might not remember it at all, even if they were the wanker, even if they were the person, sorry, pardon my language, even if they were the one who did not act properly in that moment and treated you badly. The idea is like, they don't even remember it. You know, it reminds me of like on Room 101, I think it was once. QI. They were talking about 1966 World Cup and they asked how Germany remembered it. Her answer was they don't.
They don't.
No, how do they refer to it? Like where we refer to it as this great victory, they don't refer to it. They don't remember the, because it's just another time they didn't quite make it, which like we've got so many examples in the, England, in World Cups. It's that thought the other side doesn't even remember. It's like, so what am I holding this grudge for? What's that doing for me? How is that helping me? So it's a moment which always stuck with me from Due South is this moment.
Mm.
It's all about just letting go of stuff, because like you're only holding it for yourself, you're not holding it for the other person, because they don't even remember that shit happened.
Yeah, and I think when he realizes that this guy doesn't even remember him, he's like, you know, I did a lot of bank jobs.
Yeah, and he even says, like, yeah, thank you for making who I am, yeah, a cop. Making me who I am.
Sorry, yeah.
A cop. I English me.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do.
Ines, if you can just correct my English, that would be great.
Yeah, he could do with it. And I love the bit. So when the eclipse is over, and Benny's like looking over the grave, it's just Ray that's in her. So he's let this other guy go. And then Benny helps Ray get out of the grave, but in the process, Benny then falls into
it. Yeah, I love the fluidity of the movement as well, because like,
yeah,
when he's helping him out, Benny falls straight in and Ray doesn't break a stride.
No, nope, choreography. He's off.
I genuinely just think how difficult that must be to choreograph, yeah, that movement, because he's got to be stable enough on his feet just the right moment that Benny loses his footing without pulling him in.
Yep.
That's actually not easy to do choreography-wise, and it's perfectly done. You've got Benny just looks like, sorry, Diefenbaker just looks, yeah, over the grave and just like, it's this look as if to say, oh God, that doesn't look good. How are you going to get out there? And then he goes, oh, give us a paw. And he
goes, he's like, give us a paw.
Oh, it's so adorable.
We love you, Deef.
We do love our Deef.
We do.
Girl.
And then we never find out what he does with these guys locked up in the crypt.
We don't. No, we've seen them going before.
Do we?
You know, oh, maybe I might. Out, you know when they originally come out of the crypt?
Yeah.
And they're walking away, is it before they, yeah, do the frisbee thing? You see the them getting led off by the cops.
Oh, maybe I missed that when I was writing something down. I have to do all the writing. Hey. So I probably missed that.
That's going to suck. I was just paying attention to the episode.
Well, sorry.
I hate
that.
To do all that writing.
I have been worrying about them.
It's great for me. I just call over stuff and stuff gets written down. It's great.
Yeah, I missed that bit. Yep. And then they head back to the precincts and Ray just... I found it really weird, actually. So, you know, finally these guys doing the interrogations, they get to speak to Ray and they're accusing them of was it 9 kilos of cocaine or something, yeah, going missing? And he's like... That's not 10, that's a 1 and a smiley face.
Well, that's the thing. There's two really huge things about this. A, that defense is bonkers.
Shocking.
But he is so kind of like committed to it. And he also leads then to, well, look, but none of this matters actually. If he doesn't recognize me, which he knows he's not, yeah, going to, it's brilliant, a brilliant solution to the thing. Even though it doesn't really make sense, they wouldn't have a conversation about the fact that he's undercover. Anyway, but we won't even get into that. But the other thing is, it doesn't actually explain why our Ray Beck, our original Ray Beck, yes, did it.
What did he do?
There's never been an episode, never been a moment of Due South I can think of where they leave it ambiguous as to what happened in that way. And I mean, I think we're just led to assume that he's innocent and he's got a good explanation, of course. And you know that Ray Vecchio wouldn't smuggle cocaine. That's not, you know, anything to do with his character. But it's kind of weird that we don't know why, unless there's something I'm missing here. If anyone knows why, if there's an explanation in the episode I'm missing or in a previous episode where he checks in this cocaine, there's a reason why there's less than there should be. But as far as I know, we don't know why. And that's kind of brave. You know, they're just trusting the watcher to just, you know, we know that's good enough for me. We know Ray's innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously they go to a lineup and they can't pick him out because he's not the original Ray. So they get away with it. So that's the end of that investigation. I mean,
like when he's talking to them and he just basically goes right at the face and goes like, so why don't we do it? And he just
it was so comedic, wasn't it?
He's really won at this stage. He knows that they're not going to be able to pick him out of the lineup and he just wants to make him jump just to be a dick about it.
Yeah.
And it's like in all the process of it, it's like, I mean, they do a bit of a magic act with the new Ray that you never question that he's on the right side of things. I mean, in the first episode, they do establish, you know, but it's like even Benny doesn't know who he is until the second episode. And oh, the one thing we didn't talk about was when Benny reads out the citations. So like, that's why you, Because to be in with, I'm going, well, why is he trusting this guy he's just met? And he reads out the citations, which show that he's read up on his record.
Yes, yes,
and he
yes.
knows he's a good guy.
Yeah, we didn't say that.
Because it's perfect, of course. Of course, the second that Benton Fraser finds out he's working with a new man, of course he's going to look up a service record to check that he's a decent guy.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of homework which Benny does. So that, I thought, was a wonderful touch. Yeah, to have him reading out citations and everything. Because, Benny's not going to lose his chances.
No, and then we get to find out a bit more about him as a person as well.
Yeah.
And... yeah, so it's really beneficial, actually, that whole reading out of his history. We get to see what kind of a person he is. It kind of confirms to Ray that actually you're a good guy, because he's doubting himself and feeling a bit rubbish because his wife's just left him. And
but, you know, I mean, I think that as much I enjoy the complex characters which they do on TV now, there is something about in the 90s, and also the way the Due South specifically is written, but more of a trend of the time, is that, you know, if there's a new regular character, you know it's going to be a good guy. You know, apart from some exceptions, which were great shows, most shows in the 90s where it's procedural, it's every week, you know if there's new characters, new main character, they're going to be a good guy.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like we're going in with that trust in the second episode, but also he does play it very nicely that you don't know why he's there, but you trust that he's a good guy. Mm. There's just something about his presence which is... seems good.
Okay, we'll go with that.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's about it.
Well, hold on. I may have dropped my book. But
yeah, pick up your book.
No, I don't need to. I know what's in it. No, just at the end, I really loved the end bit. So everything's wrapped up and then they're just celebrating Ray's birthday.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
They're all wearing the party hats. There's a party going on the precinct. And it was just so funny to me because the only people that were actually invited to the party were people that know he's not the real Ray.
Yeah.
And it's not his birthday.
Actually, I didn't think of that. Yeah, no one would have been there any the wiser because it's all his friends.
It's all the people that know he's not Ray. But
that's a really good
point. They still celebrated Ray's birthday.
Which is actually really nice.
It's nice.
But it's the fact that Walsh comes up with the bombing for Trout. And he goes like, it's actually harder than it looks. It's like, anything I thought about that, I mean, I love it. It's still a great moment. But I did think maybe I wouldn't have given that to Walsh. Maybe I would have given it to... I mean, it's tough, though, because Tony Craig, I think his character wouldn't have done it.
Mm.
Whereas if you had his partner... either his previous or his future partner, I think they might have been. So it's like, it's who else you could have got to do it. Because like, I think part of Walsh is that he is a high status character. He is the serious character. So it's taken some liberties with his character to have him doing this. Whereas like every other episode you kind of shown, this isn't what the kind of thing he'd do. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we also had Tony Craig's character with the pinata, and he's like, oh, I can do this. And he kind of like jumps up, foot in the air to kick it, and just falls on his butt. And...
yeah. Well, you see, I think you can get away with that with him because he's the macho guy who would be trying to do that at all costs and making that out of himself. But I don't think Walsh, him or Walsh are more like, I don't think they're bombing for Trout guys. It might have been a good one to get Turnbull maybe to show up there. Mm. That would be a nice one. But then you'd have to pay him for an episode just for like 3 seconds and one line.
Yeah.
But it was a great one. Okay, are we good on the episode?
Done.
Right,
done.
So
we've
got some orders of business now. We're going to sort some shit out. First of all, Michelle, can you give me the information that's in? Can you tell me what the moments of the week?
That was a bit piratey there.
And thank you very much, of course, to Blaine Garrison, even though we're merely parroting his work, still present, I think, in the lyrics there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We captured him there.
Yeah, we did. So, Michelle.
Yep.
Best Stephen Baker moment of the week.
Oh, the flower arranging. The flower arranging on the grave for me.
Because I love the bit where he was Stephen Baker's clues, you know, when but it's got to be him rushing to the graveside of the dog. I'm going to pick the first moment just because it was so nice that he felt the empathy and he went to the graveside.
He's a sensitive being.
It was a sweet moment. It was actually quite a lot of the time, Diefenbaker moments do end up being funny and stuff. But we've had action Diefenbaker moments. We have. Yep. Dramatic Diefenbaker moments, and this is one of the more dramatic. Yep. Actually, he is a really canvas-style dog.
He's like, very versatile.
The amount of wolves, I should say, yeah. And the amount of different ways in which they use him is actually, like, I don't think, I was going to say, like, most of the time we pick a comical one, but we actually don't, like, overwhelmingly, by far.
He's a talented wolf.
Best American of the week, Michelle.
American, I'm going to go for the guy that robbed the bank that Ray was after. Because he was an American.
Yeah.
And that's about it, Manny.
I'm going to say the woman at the graveside shooting the lead into her dead husband. Because Second Amendment.
Okay.
Right there. Okay. So the most Canadian of the week, Michelle.
Oh, look at Willow just having a little stretch on camera there. Well, I was actually going to go for the old lady shooting the lead into the grave, but because she wanted a bit of Canadian that day.
Oh,
right. That's where I'm going with that.
I'm going to go for the old lady who took the letter to the I don't think I've ever done this. I'm going to pick someone, the same person for the most American and the most Canadian, which is within the rules. I think Blaine Garrison might have
Well, we make the rules.
Episode. Yeah. But I, the reason why I'm going to pick her is because she was carrying out her dead husband's wish. She was being very cordial about it.
She was.
Even though to some that might have been a crazy request, she took it seriously. And I think Canada, one of its strengths is to take people's beliefs and to take people's cares seriously. So I think that's why she is both the most American and the most Canadian of the week.
Well, that is a first for us here on Due South by Southeast.
Us have done that.
No.
We've had guests who have done it. But that's the first time. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with that. And Sarah Cook said, the old lady shows you you're never too old to have fun and flair.
Absolutely, Sarah.
That's very true, Sarah. So, the fun and flair to Due South comes towards an end. Is there any other order of business? Have I missed anything? Like, it's been so long.
I think so.
Most American week, most Canadian of the week, and the...
Deef moment of the week. That's it.
There isn't an actual best moment of the week, is there?
No,
we're not going to add new.
Let's not start adding now.
I think we've got enough. I mean, I like the show. I mean, I love the show, but it's like, yeah, let's not add anything more at this stage of the game.
I think we're good. We'd have to get another tune or something as well, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would. We'd have to have new jingles and everything. It would be a nightmare. Anyway, I have been Detective Squeeze.
Sorry for your ears, people. And with dogs.
With me, a pause has been Wolf Willow, which you can see a bum there.
You can see a bit of her. Yeah, she's not moving right now.
You can see anything but her head.
Yeah.
And also joining me, who's the other one? Oh, man, Michelle!
Well, Mike, you've just said it. Good night. Yes. Good night. Have a lovely weekend, people.
Yeah, there you go. You know, just a bit of manners towards our own listeners. So, Michelle, say, just imagine, just take flight fantasy with me for a second, if you will.
Okay.
Say these folks at home, which are watching us right now, say they've got or listening to us, because we don't want to include the people listening later on the podcast. But imagine, if you will, that they had a compass and they wanted to kept pointed in some direction of their choice until next week. If you had advised them, if they asked you, what direction should they keep that compass pointed in?
I would recommend...
What would you say, Michelle?
Due South by Southeast.
Good night. First of all, just quickly before we go in a step out, we should do a Due South quiz again. That would be really cool. Just very quickly, just about the show. Sorry it's been so long since the episode. We we're trying to do one a month, but just life gets in the way. But soon, I haven't told you this actually, but the but John Wright, Armani John, as we know him and love him, has reached out about doing an episode about some exciting branding news about Due South and about maybe some products coming your way, which I know he's talked about a little bit, so I'm not portraying any confidence there. But yeah, we might have an episode soon where we talk to him about that. And yeah, quiz might be incoming at some point. Maybe there might even be some other exciting news about something coming your way. Perhaps maybe even for a 30th anniversary of... Oh, sorry, we're breaking up, guys! Bye! Take care. Eh?